This is Mitchell Dye with Mitchell's Front Page on 94.7 The Pulse.
Now, it's time to talk motoring with our good friend Toby Hagen. How are you, Toby?
I'm good. How are you?
Yes, very good. And you've just come back from overseas, haven't you?
I have, yeah. I've been over in Europe for a few days, over in Switzerland and Germany, driving the new Audi Q7. So that was an interesting few days to learn all about that.
Yes, you have a very envious lifestyle, I've got to say, just coming back from overseas, testing out all these great vehicles. But the Audi Q7 has got some very exciting features that we don't really have yet in Australia, doesn't it?
No, that's right. I mean, this is one of the things we're seeing, particularly with the German car makers or the luxury car makers, is a push to try and introduce more features that make it obviously easier to drive and harder to have a crash. And a few of the things they've introduced on this latest one. One of them is a trailer manoeuvring system. So basically what it does is does all the self-steering for you when you're backing up a trailer. Obviously when you're doing a trailer, trying to get it into a car parking spot or something, you need to counter-steer and do those sorts of things. It does all of that for you. So you basically take your hand off the steering wheel, you dial up on the screen, on the little colour screen inside, exactly where you want the trailer to go, what direction you want it to go in, and the car does all the figuring out which way to steer it. So it's pretty amazing technology, and, you know, controlling something that I guess isn't part of the car, but it's attached to the car, and it's, it's something that, at this stage isn't necessarily slated or hasn't been engineered for the Australian cars, but should be coming at some point in the future.
I mean, what percentage of drivers can back a trailer at the moment? I think it tends to jackknife and it goes all over the place. It's a bit embarrassing, isn't it?
Well, it is. You go into the, particularly in school holidays, and you see the Macca's car park or something, and it's usually a pretty interesting mix of people trying to figure out how to get the trailer where they want it to be. So, particularly for Australia, we're towing such a big thing. Whether it's a boat or a caravan or whatever, it's certainly got some interesting applications locally.
But you still have to sit behind the wheel and put your foot on the brakes and that sort of thing if it goes out of control?
You do. So it comes up on the screen and tells you, it says, you're braking basically. It'll give you some tips on when to brake and so on, but it does tell you that you're looking after the braking. So basically it does the steering, you do the accelerating and the braking.
Okay, so it even coaches you through the entire process.
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, we had someone, I think might have been possibly you or a tech guy, came on talking about these cars that could parallel park themselves. And They've got to the point where you don't have to be behind the driver's seat, apparently. You can be outside with a remote and it will just park itself.
You can, yeah. Some of the overseas car makers have done that. None of those systems are available in Australia yet. They're working on that, but there's issues at the moment. Obviously, the way the laws are all written is that the driver has to be in control of the vehicle. So, even with something like parking, so I think it's going to be at least a couple of years till we get those sorts of features available in Australia and past the authorities.
And for good reason, because I can just imagine being there with a remote control, and it's about to plough into the car next to you.
Well, that's exactly right. It would make an interesting insurance claim, wouldn't it? You're filling out on the form, who was the driver? Well, actually, I was standing 30 metres away from my car.
That's right.
So there's a lot of them, and this is one of the things with all these various autonomous features that we're going to start seeing filter into cars over the next 10 or so years is getting the authorities to agree that they're actually safe and that there is a benefit to them. So there's a lot of work to be done yet, a lot of arguments inside courtrooms, I'd imagine.
And some people mount an argument to say that backing a trailer or reverse parallel parking is an essential skill that you have to have, and if you have these automatic systems doing it for you, people lose that natural ability. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, well, that's actually an interesting discussion I was having with another guy over there at the time. He said exactly the same thing. He said, this is ridiculous. He goes, if someone can't back up a trailer, they shouldn't have a trailer on. Like, that's 101 of towing a trailer. You should be aware of what's going on behind you and be able to control it. So, look, that is obviously another side of it. I guess over the years we've seen a lot of driver functions taken out of cars or made easier in cars, everything from power steering to anti-lock brakes and stability control systems. Even the automatic transmission, there's a lot of people who still say, well, yeah, people should understand how to drive a manual, but the reality is the world's very much moving towards automatic cars, and far fewer manuals are sold than they were 10 or 20 years ago.
Yeah, no, it's interesting. And I think one of the other features is some sort of warning device so you can't open a door onto a cyclist?
Yeah, so this is, the car, you pull up, you turn off the engine and go to grab the door handle. Now, it doesn't actually stop you from opening the door handle, but it does flash some rather large lights at you to warn that there is something coming up behind you or beside you. It could be anything from a truck or bus down to a cyclist. And we tested it with a cyclist. It certainly picked them up. So, yeah, I mean, that's got some very interesting applications for Australia, where obviously there's a lot of discussion about bicycle safety and in particular how they interact with cars. And, you know, if you can take that out of the equation or at the very least make car drivers more aware of it, it'd be probably a win for both parties.
I think it definitely would be. I'm sure the cyclists would be grateful. I mean, it's been such a hot topic of conversation, the whole issue of car dooring, especially with people getting out of cabs and that type of thing.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, that's one of the big things is the rear seats. You look at, you know, where you haven't got the mirror and you can't see what's coming up. You're absolutely right. It's certainly something that does hold a lot of potential safety benefits for Australians, and particularly the cyclists.
And I suppose when you're the driver, you have a bit more situational awareness. You've got some idea of what's around you. But if you're a passenger, perhaps you're a bit more removed from that.
Yeah, that's right. Absolutely. I'd 100% agree with that. And obviously passengers, you know, potentially could be drunk and so on. So, as you say, they may not have anything like the awareness. They could be young kids that aren't thinking about that sort of stuff. Mm. So definitely some benefits.
Yeah, some hopefully exciting features which you may see in Australia soon. And what about the ANCAP safety ratings? Any thoughts on where that's at the moment?
Well, look, I mean, this is, you know, ANCAP's an interesting one. Well, I had a very good look into all of those safety ratings and figured out that the vast majority or the majority of the five-star ratings that currently exist would not exist if you re-evaluated the vehicle. So 180-odd cars, if you went through it and applied today's rating system to them, then they wouldn't get five stars. Most of them get four stars, which is, you know, at a point where ANCAP says don't buy these cars because they don't meet the current safety standards. So, and the other unfortunate thing is that there's some new cars that have come out now, like the Suzuki Celerio, for example, which is one of the safest cars in its class, that only gets a four-star rating. So, and it really has better safety features than a lot of the cars that have a five-star rating. So it's pretty disappointing. This is a safety organisation in a bit of disarray at the moment, I think, and there's certainly certainly some work needs to be done to try and convince people that they are actually getting safer cars if they look at a five-star car.
Has the five-star standard been lifted as more technology has come out and therefore cars that got a five-star rating back when they came out, that would no longer apply to them if it was re-rated?
Yeah, that's right. That's 100% right. So it's and the problem is, you know, the model life of a car is a minimum of 4 years and it can be up to quite commonly 10 years. So so potentially a car can get its rating, get its five-star rating and not have anything done to it for 10 years and still hold on to that five-star rating despite the fact that safety systems have improved. And particularly customer expectations, you know, with all this crash avoidance technology that we've seen quite a bit of now, we'll certainly see a lot more of it in the next 5 or 10 years. But there's very little incentive for the car makers to put it on because they've got their five-star rating. That's all they need.
Well, in terms of that four-star or five-star safety rating, you had that case study there of the car that missed out. What was one of the biggest features that stopped getting a five-star rating?
Well, it's a whole bunch of small features. So they can choose between about 40 so-called safety assist technologies. Some of these things can be quite decent, but they could be very, very minor. Things like hill hold assist, so something to stop you rolling back on a hill before you take off,
yeah.
Which really, you know, I'm not sure how much of a genuine safety feature that is. It might stop a 3 kilometre an hour embarrassment into the car behind, but
yes.
It's, you know, we've all got handbrakes in other cars that do exactly the same thing. And you know, they could have put in, say, daytime running lights, which come on basically during the day, obviously, to make your car more visible to others. But again, I mean, headlights do the same thing. If you flick the headlights on, you're going to get the same result. So it's again, safety benefit, I'm not entirely sure, and you know, all they've got to do is tick that box and all of a sudden they've got five stars. But at the moment, there's a recommendation not to purchase that car, where really it's as I said, it's one of the safest features in the safest cars in its class. It's got the only car one of the only cars in its class that has seatbelt reminders for all five seats, which I think is pretty important, particularly in the back seats where, you know, kids might unbuckle halfway home and you're not aware of it. This way you are, you know straight away if they've taken their seatbelt off.
Yeah, it's a very good feature to have because I'm often driving. You've got a passenger who likes to take the seatbelt off, you know, before you, like when you're still driving in and you're 10 metres away or something, and they don't do it because the alarm goes off and it's quite annoying. So they just have to put the seatbelt on out of annoyance.
Absolutely, absolutely.
But in terms of buying a car, and you talked about the sort of 4 to 5 star jump, what are the big things you should be looking for if you're talking about safety? Is it the curtain airbags, the electronic stability control? What should people be focused on, do you think?
Well, on a new car, all new cars have to have electronic stability control. It's a mandatory requirement of selling a new car. So that'll come anyway. But certainly those curtain airbags are very, very important in terms of protecting you in a side impact crash where you don't have a lot of metal between you and whatever you're hitting or getting hit by. Mm. So those side curtain airbags are very important, and make sure they cover all the occupants. So some of them don't cover the people in the second row of seats. A lot of seven-seat cars, they won't cover the people in the third row of seats. So very important to check where those curtain airbags finish and try and make sure they cover all the occupants in the car. The other one that's getting bigger these days is a function called autonomous emergency braking or automatic emergency braking, often getting referred to as AEB, and that is, as it suggests, a system that will monitor the traffic in front, monitor the cars in front. If you, for some reason, fail to brake, it'll automatically do an emergency stop. It may not necessarily avoid the crash, but it'll certainly reduce the severity of it. So, you know, features like that, some of those more advanced crash avoidance features are very good. Another one that is pretty handy is blind spot warning system, so they can you go to change lanes, and if a bike or a car is in your blind spot and you haven't quite seen it, it'll give you a visual and or audible warning. So it's again quite handy for keeping an eye on other traffic.
And you mentioned there about the 40 different options that they may have, and some of them are perhaps trivial, but is there an argument to say that maybe we could go beyond 5 stars to cater for some of those systems and just the diversity that's out there now?
Yeah, that's something NCAP's been looking at or talked about for a number of years. They've decided against it. They've decided instead to make it harder to get the 5-star rating, but their thinking is that, you know, people equate 5 stars with excellence, and that's something that, you know, I guess is ingrained in us, whether it's hotel ratings or whatever else. It's something that we know pretty well. So they've decided to stick to that 5-star rating and, as I said, increase the difficulty of getting it. But in doing that, I think you need to go back and have a look at all the other cars on the market. Age is actually, it benefits cars that are older on the market. They're the ones that will get the better safety rating potentially.
And last of all, we've been talking about the airbags a fair bit. What's happening with that, with the recall?
Well, it's still soldiering on. So we're up to almost 650,000 cars in Australia, 53-odd million cars worldwide. So it's an extremely big recall, one that's going to be bubbling along for at least another 12 months in terms of trying to get the cars repaired and so on, just to physically get hold of those parts. It's quite a big challenge, but Subaru was the latest car maker to join it with 30-odd thousand versions of its Impreza. They were cars about 10 years old, so it's not the newer models, but it's older vehicles. But still a lot of cars and a lot of brands in Australia.
And as you mentioned, I think the big problem is just the backlog, so that if you have a problem, you won't be able to get it fixed for some time. And what's the risk if you've got a problem right now?
Well, there's no risk unless you have a crash, and obviously no one intends or prepares to have a crash,
no.
So that's why you've got the airbags. So the risk if you have a crash is that you could get injured by the airbag inflator exploding and sending shrapnel around the cabin. So it is quite a significant risk. Look, very low chance of it happening. I think there's been 6-odd cases worldwide that have had have resulted in fatalities, more than 100, though, that have resulted in injuries. So it is definitely a possibility, but you know, you have to be unlucky, but again, that's what crashes are about. You want to try and minimise that luck factor and increase your chances of survival.
Will the manufacturer have contacted you if there's an issue with your car, or do people need to check?
Bit of both. So if they have your details, then they will, but a lot of these cars are more than 10 years old, so they're in second or third hand owners. So they don't necessarily have the contact details of them, in which case they physically can't contact you. They will be taking out ads in media as required by government legislation, but the easiest way to figure out whether your car is impacted is go to the recalls.gov.au website. Mm-hmm. Check on that, and you'll see on there whether your car's on there, and then you can check the VIN or vehicle identification number as to whether your exact car is impacted.
Well, Toby, thank you so much for joining us this morning. Really appreciate it. A really good insight into what's going on.
Anytime. Chat soon.
Thank you very much. We'll chat to you in a fortnight. Toby Hagen there from Wheels Magazine.
Mitchell's Front Page with Mitchell Dye. Mondays and Tuesdays from 9 till 11 on 94.7 The Pulse.